A growing problem in our world today is one of Bible illiteracy. And it's not just those in the world, but I believe there's a lot in the church that are biblically illiterate. George Gallup and Jim Castelli say that Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read it. And because they don't read it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates. So how bad is it? Well, let's consider a few surveys. One says fewer than half of all adults can name the four Gospels. One says many professing Christians cannot identify more than two or three of the disciples. And 60% of Americans cannot name even five of the Ten Commandments. One says that 82% of Americans believe God helps those who help themselves is actually a Bible verse. 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. And a survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that over 50% thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. A considerable number of respondents to one poll indicated that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. All this comes from George Barna in Increasingly America is Biblically Illiterate. This illiteracy is like a poison. It wreaks havoc in the lives of individuals, of our churches, and our communities. So to understand how it is poison, let's consider the poison itself of biblical illiteracy. First of all, it has an effect on individuals. God's people have always been destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:1-6. And Amos 8:11-13 says, where there is a lack of God's word, the people faint. So in ignorance, they would make the wrong choices. When they stumble, they don't know where to turn. And without knowledge of God's word, a person has no real direction or guidance in life. The psalmist tells us that in Psalm 119:105. And no true joy or peace in life comes from someone that has no knowledge of God's word. Psalm 119:111-165. So how many lives are being destroyed? How many people are stumbling through life because they don't have the light of God's word guiding them as they go through this old world? But this poison of biblical illiteracy not only affects individuals, but it affects the churches as well. Hebrews 5:12 teaches us that churches, groups of Christians, would languish, suffer for lack of teachers. Teachers are few because there is a lack of knowledge among people. And churches are led astray by false teachers and false doctrine. Because how can the ignorant know what is false and what is true? 2 Peter 2:1-3. So let me ask you a question. How many churches are dying on the vine or have gone wholesale into apostasy, a falling away from the truth, because their members cannot discern between what is truth and what is error? So this poison has an effect on individuals, on churches, but also, believe it or not, it has an effect on the communities. Our standards of morality are all over the place. I spoke to a man not too awful long ago that I didn't really know. He was cussing in one breath, and in the next breath he was talking about this particular thought. Isaiah 5:20, where the text tells us where good is evil and evil is good now, according to society. We live in an upside down world. We live in a world, in a country, where we slaughter the innocent through abortion and call it a woman's right. And yet we spare the guilty, believing that there's no such thing or capital punishment is wrong. We reward the wicked people in this world. the movie stars, the entertainers, because they portray immorality and that's what we want to see. And we deprive the good, teachers, etc. Divorce is made easy. Adultery is looked upon lightly. Fornication is just an affair or a relationship. And homosexuality, well, that's just an alternative lifestyle. And yet God condemns it. Our view of morality is upside down. And the effect of these things destroy not only our families, but our communities. When you look at the evil things that are allowed to spread in the name of freedom and are actually ripping families apart, things like pornography and running around on your spouse. Children are deprived of the kind of parenting that should be their God-given right. They need a mama and a daddy that will teach them morality, that will lead them in the ways of what the Word of God says, both by teaching and by example. And we have a nation that is leading to juvenile delinquency and other great evils. Consider how the moral fabric of our nation and others in the world are becoming unraveled. Judges 21 verse 25 talks about when everyone does what is right in his own eyes. The poison of biblical illiteracy has infected and sickened our people, our churches, and our communities. But there is an antidote to this poison, a vaccine, if you will. Indeed, there is, but it requires effort on your part. Not the church, not the community, but you as an individual. The antidote to biblical illiteracy is that you have to read your Bible daily. Read it in private. The psalmist talks about that truly the truly blessed person feeds upon the Word of God daily. Psalm 1 verses 1 through 3 and Psalm 119 verses 97 and 98. You need a systematic practice of prayerful Bible reading as part of a daily devotional. And that will bring a person, that will bring you closer to God. And will gradually increase our understanding of the Word of God. And it will offer strength, it will offer comfort, it will offer hope that only God's Word can provide. So, are you willing to do your part every day to stamp out biblical illiteracy? But another part of this antidote is a frequent in-depth Bible study with other people. The faithful Christian realizes the value of this mutual edification. The Hebrew writer talks about in Hebrews 3 verses 12 through 14, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." The Hebrew writer also tells us in chapter 10 and verse 24 that we are to stir up or to provoke unto love and good works one another. And the only way we can do that is when we come together. And he talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, there in the following verse, verse 25. Churches often provide the opportunity for Christians to come together to study. In Bible classes, on the Lord's Day, during the week, and in their homes at times. This is where they can find benefit from the knowledge of other Bible students. So the question begs to be asked, are you willing to participate in these activities to help stamp out biblical illiteracy? And then there's another part you can do as an individual. As a parent, accept your God-given responsibility. God gave you the responsibility as a mama and a daddy to spiritually train your children. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, God tells Moses, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." In other words, put some effort into teaching them. and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. In the New Testament, we read in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." You know, the church can provide assistance with your child's classes, but yet you cannot put aside your responsibility. You can't shirk your duty and allow that job to be passed on to the church. You have a job to do. Parents should be very much involved in the teaching programs of any church. Wherever you may be attending, you need to know what's being taught. My children used to come out of Bible class and we'd ask them, "Well, what did you study today?" "God." Well, I knew they were studying more than that, but that's what you're going to get from your children, so you need to be involved with the teacher, the teaching aspect of it. So are you willing to step up as a parent and do your job and help stamp out biblical illiteracy? What about preachers? Are they fulfilling their duty to the Word? Where you attend, is the preacher giving heed to the Word and preaching nothing but the truth? That's what Paul instructed young Timothy to do in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. In 2 Timothy 4 verses 1 through 5, he warned that there would come a time when people wouldn't want the truth. And we should expect preachers to be men of the book, preaching and teaching the Word of God, providing explanation of the Scriptures, not giving some entertaining pop theology or pop psychology. So, are you willing to require your preacher to preach the Word only, not be entertaining, not to be a comedian, in order to help stamp out biblical illiteracy? You know, one encouraging thing that you can do is read other people's writings. There's an article by Albert Mohler, "The Scandal of Biblical Illiteracy." "It's our problem," he says. I thought the concluding paragraphs to be really on the mark. He says, "Churches must recover the centrality and urgency of biblical teaching and preaching and refuse to sideline the teaching ministry of the preacher." He says, "Pastors and churches, they're too busy or too distracted to make biblical knowledge a central aim of the ministry, and that will produce believers who simply do not know enough to be faithful disciples." We live in a day and time when the world wants to go to church to be entertained, to have their social status fulfilled. They would rather watch a concert, a movie, or whatever the case may be. He goes on to say that this generation must get deadly serious about the problem of biblical illiteracy, or there will be a frighteningly large number of Americans, Christians included, who will go on thinking that Sodom and Gomorrah lived happily ever after. Are we getting deadly serious about the problem of biblical illiteracy? If so, then we need to do what James said in James 1 and verse 21, to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. I appreciate you listening today. It may be that you disagree with what we've talked about. If you'd like to discuss this further with me, bring your Bible and we'll sit down and discuss the Word of God. If you have any complaints about what's been said, bring your Bible and we will discuss the Word of God. Have Scripture to back up your point of view. If you believe in entertainment, then prove it with Scripture. If you'd like to join us, you can join us at the Eastside Church of Christ this morning for Bible study at 9, worship at 10, and again this evening at 5 p.m. You can look us up on the churchateastside.com website and listen to this lesson or any other lesson again. Again, thank you for being with me.